It is a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA. Welcome into episode 66, as we say in the Berg. It's June 16th, 2025. This is Kabali and Matt. Good morning, friends, Yinzers, countrymen, all you wonderful people who join us every time we do this. We can't appreciate you enough. Follow us if you're not yet on X, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, the socials, as they say. At Kabali and Mac. And of course, on YouTube, you want to subscribe. That doesn't cost you anything, by the way, to subscribe to the show on YouTube. That's free. That just means that as soon as we go live, you're going to see us. You're going to hear us. You're going to get that little notification. Kaboom's shoving his face into his brand new camera. Mac is yapping about something, and we want to be a part of it. We're up around 1,760 subscribers now, I think. When we get to 2,500, we'll give away that autographed Paul Skeens baseball. Thanks to the good friends at First and Goal Collectibles, firstandgoalsports.com out at South Hills Village. I stopped by Saturday, talked to Mark a little bit, let my kid buy something. Happy Father's Day to me. There was a lot going on this weekend. We'll get into all of it. And yes, clean up some of the leftovers from what was a busy Steelers mandatory minicamp. Thanks, as always, to our presenting sponsors, the good friends at the Dan Heck team. Heck Team Homes, H-A-E-C-K, heckteamhomes.com, the key to your next door. You're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area. They are the people to talk to, and they make sure that we stay finely clothed, as you can see there. And, of course, that we keep doing this thing. Dan, Michelle, Jeremy, Corey, John, Keith, Heather, Mike, Tia, the whole team looking to get you into or out of whatever home you're looking to get into or out of. You can move into Kaboom's neighborhood right down the street. Little international flair, as they say. Get mayonnaise sandwiches made by the man himself if you live next door to Kaboom. Imagine that. That would be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. But welcome in. Kaboom, how was your Father's Day weekend?
Spectacular. I don't know what I did. Let me think.
Well, you tweeted out a picture of the Pappy Nola.
Oh, yeah.
We're good friends at Yoli's.
Went to Yoli's, had the Pappy Nola. I always get the Pappy Nola.
Which is pasta, right? Describe the Pappy Nola to the folks at home who may not live in the immediate area.
Spicy, and have never sausage. Spicy sausage with some sausage.
Sausage.
With some Sunday sauce and with some pasta. Fabulous salad.
Hot sausage.
Salad.
And, so good up there. We have not been in a while. We're long overdue for a trip to Yoli's. As I mentioned, my Father's Day was spent taking the family to the mall. The kids spent some Dick's gift cards. Got him a little Steelers mini helmet at First and Goal, which he wants to take up to training camp one day and try to get some autographs on. We'll see how that goes. Yeah. It'll be his first training camp experience. He'll get to see what it's all about.
And probably his last when he says, I came here for this.
I had to explain to him that you just get autographs from whoever's there. You can't hold out. Like, Aaron Rodgers and DK Metcalf aren't going to walk the line every single day to hand out autographs, kiddo. I'm sorry.
Yeah, they take carts up to the locker room now, so the steps are sort of irrelevant. So you have to sit in a certain area, and it's kind of dangerous, and maybe right behind the porta potty. If somebody slides out that way, you can say, hey, Nick Herbig.
There you go. Maybe. That'll work. I think you'd be happy with a Nick Herbig. Who wouldn't? So that was my Father's Day weekend. And then a solid 8 hours at a softball field in the middle of nowhere up near Hermitage yesterday. So we need to get a light for this fancy new camera that you have, so we can actually see your face.
I know. My light just went out. I don't know what happened to it.
I don't know. The technology is, well, it's a work in progress on your end.
I don't know what happened to my light. Maybe if I turn, I don't know, whatever.
Maybe if you turn it on?
No, I accidentally unplugged it, but I don't know how I don't know where the hell it's plugged in at.
Okay. It was also the U.S. Open at Oakmont, which ended in dramatic fashion. You don't have to be a golf fan, I think, to appreciate what J.J. Spawn did yesterday. 64-foot putt on 18 to clinch the U.S. Open after being up at 3 in the morning. There you go. Nice light. That looks real good. That looks one of those things where you shine the flashlight under your chin and you're telling a horror story during a camp out.
Yeah, what kind? You got one of those special lamps or something? One of those little round things?
Yeah, it's called a ring light.
You really have that?
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Do you want us to be able to see your face?
Not really.
Yeah, well.
Now I'm going to have to get a ring light? Are you kidding me?
I have an extra if you want it. I mean, good Lord. It's not hard.
Why would you have an extra, by the way?
Because I think it stopped working for a while, and I realized it was the outlet, not the ring light. Anyway, dude ends up storming back after a 90-minute weather delay, because all it did was storm at Oakmont yesterday afternoon. He was +5 through the first six holes, goes 3 under after the delay when everyone else crapped their pants, including our guy Sam Burns, including Tyrell Hatton, who was slamming his club into the turf after just about every shot. And this dude, JJ Spahn, who was at CVS picking up medicine for his daughter at 3 in the morning, happy Father's Day to him as well, ends up clinching the Open with one with a putt that's going to be remembered for the ages.
Yeah, you know, I think I might need to add a light here.
No reaction to the U.S. Open. You're still trying to figure out.
Well, the only U.S. Open is that there's one fantastic putt. I was just wondering if potentially that was the longest putt in the history of a major golf outing that won the championship. I mean, it has to be up there. I'm sure that's a small sample size of you breaking it down like that, but to using that length of a putt, maybe that Tiger Woods putt with the Nike thing, was that a championship
at
winning?
Augusta? Maybe. Or are you thinking of the other U.S.
the
Open
putt? Was that the chip?
I do know, I did see it reported that it was the longest putt made all week at Oakmont this week. So if nothing else, it's pretty badass to secure a U.S. Open title on the longest putt made of the entire week. Now, look, I heard some people complain, well, Victor Hovland lined it up for him. He gave him a good teach, showed him how to sink that thing. Doesn't matter. It's a 64-foot putt on the most diabolical greens in the world. It's ballsy to sink that. So, and look, it no pressure. If he leaves it 3 feet at 4 or 5 feet any side of the hole, he's going to sink it and still win.
It's really bothering me, by the way.
What is it? The light?
The light! Okay, it's bothering me. I'm distracted.
Let it go.
I'm going to have to move or something here.
Let it go. You're fine.
I'm very distracted.
We're going to get through this together. Me and you and everybody watching and listening, we're going to get through it together. They expect nothing less from you, to be quite honest. I mean...
Yeah, I'm going to do something here.
What are you going to do?
I don't know. Watch. I'm going to stop my cam for a second.
Here we go.
Hold on.
I'm going to ruin the whole show. While you fix that, I'm going to tell everybody about Southwest Greens. I mentioned the guy who was leading after the second and third round, Sam Burns. Yeah, he had some trouble after that weather delay. But the reason he's on tour is because he's a great freaking golfer. He has Southwest Greens in his yard. You could as well. SouthwestGreensPA.com is where you go. Tell Jake the Cabali and Mac sent you, or maybe just me since Cabali's not here and he's messing with his camera right now. But you want to have the best looking yard in the neighborhood, the most functional yard in the neighborhood, and spend the least amount of time and maintenance on it. Go to SouthwestGreensPA.com today, and they will be happy to come out and tell you exactly what they can do for you. Did you move into the recliner?
Yeah, I still love
it. Don't fall asleep on me in the recliner, please.
Let me turn that light on. Okay, we're ready to go.
Are you good now? Can you handle this?
I'm going to have to do some updating here. All right, let's rock and roll. What are we talking about?
Well, I figured since we're removed from minicamp now, right, and we've spent a week basically talking about Aaron Rodgers and the offense, and we came out of this on Friday feeling very, very positive, like almost – I don't want to say too positive, but like so positive to the extent that you're like, am I setting myself up for a fall here? But I'm happy to go through the next 6 weeks leading into training camp with some positivity. I'll feel good about it because of Rodgers and the offense and all the pieces they've added, the offensive line coming together. The other thing worth talking about, cleaning up some of the leftovers from minicamp, is the backup quarterback situation. And no, not Mason. Mason's going to be the backup. We know that. Talked to him at length last month about that. But the guy that everybody was real high on, even though they drafted him in the sixth round, Will Howard spoke last week as well and was asked about how his interactions with Aaron Rodgers have been so far.
He's a great, great mentor, has already, you know, treated me with the utmost respect and you know, just been really good to me, you know, and a guy like that, he doesn't have to do that, you know, so I really just appreciate him being willing to kind of take me under his wing a little bit and give me pointers and tips here and there, and there's already some things that he's said to me that have already helped me, you know, and so I'm just excited to learn as much as I can from that guy and take everything that he says and try and put it in the bank, you know, and just continue to learn every single day and get better, because that's what being a rookie is about.
And look, as much as we focused last week on what this year's offense is going to look like with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, the question of what comes down the line in the future is still out there. It's not maybe something that we're focused on immediately, especially in the past week, but people are still talking about it. And people love Will Hard because of the work ethic, which you'll hear Tom Arth talk about in just a second. But, you know, for all that we talked about Ben over the years, especially in relation to Mason and how he wasn't, you know, he doesn't have to be a mentor. He doesn't have to train up the guy who might be there to take his job someday and push him out the door, which Ben didn't necessarily do with Mason. It sounds like Aaron Rodgers is totally fine with cozying up next to Will Howard, and Will Howard is like a sponge right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's what he said. He said he's asking him some questions and giving him some pointers. And I mean, even just by just watching what he does and how to become a pro, or how he goes about his work week, well, nothing but help Will Howard in the long run. I think we just need to stop thinking that Will Howard is our, you know, savior for the 2025 season. I mean, for me, if he doesn't take one snap, that's great to me. I mean, you got
I don't think he has to now, right? There's no, unless there's multiple bad injuries, we're not seeing Will Howard on the field this year.
No, I don't think it's going to be. Well, it's happened before. I mean, a lot of times, I mean, the past couple of times it's happened is because there's been poor quarterback play. But you had that one year where he had a ton of injuries. So I don't think you need him. Plus, you got a 30-year-old Mason that knows what he's doing. You got a 40-year-old Aaron Rodgers that knows how to play the quarterback position. If you're going to offer up tips and pointers to him, that's nothing but positive to him. But I mean, Flacco seems like to be the other end of this, which is strange to me. I mean, he's like, yeah, I'm just trying to go out here. I mean, he's totally dismissing the fact that he should help Shedeur Sanders or Dylan Gabriel. And it's just very, very weird. I mean, I sure agree with him, probably worry about yourself. I don't know if you want to say that publicly. Just imagine if Aaron Rodgers came out and said what Flacco said.
Well, it's a different.
Abolished.
There's some apples and oranges there. Flacco's battling. Nobody has any idea who the Browns starter is going to be week one. Whereas everyone knows exactly who the starter is going to be here weeks 1 through 18, assuming he stays healthy. Like, Rodgers doesn't have to come in and remind everyone that he's battling for a spot. Everyone knows it's his spot. The head coach said so on the first day of minicamp as soon as Rodgers walked in, whereas Flacco's battling with two rookies and Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, but you're still 40. You got maybe a year in you, right? So do you want to be known as that guy? I never took Flacco as that guy. You know, screw maybe. You, I'm getting some of my own.
Maybe he sees that there isn't much in those other guys. I don't know. And figures he can take the job.
Do you have to say that? I mean, do you have to go out there? What I'm saying is, while he's not going to be overly excited about helping Shedeur Sanders, Dylan Gabriel, or even Kenny Pickett to that fact, Aaron Rodgers and Mason Rudolph are at least showing signs early on of, hey, you know, I'm helping you out. The curious dynamic I want to see is the Mason / Aaron Rodgers dynamic. Because, you know, Mason's saying, dude, I can do this. You brought this guy in and I can do this. I mean, there's probably a chip on his shoulder here. I don't think Mason's the type of guy that's going to hold a grudge or anything or say anything poorly about anybody. I don't think it'll be a strained relationship, at least publicly, but I'm sure he's not the happiest guy in the world right now.
Well, but he basically told us last month.
He knew, but still.
Pecking order is. He gets it. Yeah. He knows what he's in for, and he's been through this before, right? So I think if anybody's built to handle it well, it's Mason, and he's shown that he can handle it well. So I'm not as I've said this before. I'll say it again until we get into September. when this offense starts to struggle, and let's not pretend like it's going to be putting up 30 points a week all year, when it has its struggles, what is the reaction of the fan base, especially in the building if they're at home, and what's the reaction on the sideline? Mike Tomlin previously has been very quick with a hook. He's not going to pull Aaron Rodgers, though. He's not. Unless Aaron Rodgers breaks a leg or bursts the other Achilles tendon, Aaron Rodgers isn't coming out of this any of these games. So it'll be interesting to see if Rodgers struggles at any point and the crowd starts chanting for Mason, Mason. That's a tough spot to be in, not only if you're Mike Tomlin, but if you're Mason Rudolph, right? Because like you said, I know I can get the job done, but they're going to stick with Rodgers over here because, well, he's Rodgers. So I get what you're saying to an extent. I just think we've got to go down a really sideways path of the offense struggling to score 20 points at all in the first month of the season before we get to that point.
Yeah, I don't even know if you do get to that point.
Right.
Honestly, I don't know. I mean, maybe. I mean, they chanted for far less things. The city,
this town loves its backup quarterbacks.
They love their chants too. It doesn't seem to be working with the Pittsburgh Pirates at all. But the thing with Mason is, he came here and he signed because he knew it was his best opportunity as a backup.
Right.
But then you sit there for 2.5 months thinking, I haven't signed anybody yet. Maybe this won't happen. Everybody's viewing me as QB1. Then, boom, carpet ripped out from under him.
Again.
I'm not saying that he wasn't expecting it, but I'm saying he has to be thinking, God, am I going to get a break here? I don't think that's an issue. I don't think that's going to be an issue whatsoever. But I don't know if they're going to be, breaking bread anytime soon. I don't know. I'm just looking at it.
Well, again, it sounds like Rodgers has come in. He's been one of the guys. He's tried very hard to get acclimated to the room and the people around him that he's going to deal with on a daily basis. I would imagine that includes Mason Rudolph. People are talking to Will Howard in the locker room, but Mason Rudolph's also in that quarterback room.
Yeah. You see the story about Aaron Rodgers going to Tomlin's house for the big BBQ this weekend?
I did not, no.
I wonder if Mason got the invite, or Will Howard, or Skylar Thompson, or is it only Aaron Rodgers got the big barbecue?
Who else got the invite?
That's what I'm saying. I don't think anybody did.
Just Rodgers? It was the Tomlin family and Aaron Rodgers?
I think some of the coaching staff. I think somebody out of Georgia reported this, some news station. You didn't see this?
No, I did not. Yeah. I told you I was busy this weekend. Trying to be a father on Father's Day.
Watching softball.
Yeah. Hell of a comeback, by the way, in the top of the final inning by your Keystone Combat team. Down 7-2, storm back, take a 9-7 lead, but then unfortunately.
Is that one of those travel teams and stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I wonder how much that cost you.
Not as much as you'd think, but it's not cheap either. Anyway. Hell of a comeback by the girls. I wanted to say that publicly because they lost the lead in the bottom half.
I'm sure they're watching.
And got eliminated. Their dads are, okay? Their dads are. The coaches are.
Just like the boyfriend's watching when you were ripping on him that one day. You've never seen it.
You did. You tried calling him out. I do think that the relationship, I don't think it's going to be strained at all. I think, again, Mason knows how to deal with this. Will Howard knows exactly what to do. Tom Arth, quarterback's coach, talked the other day and was just talking about his first encounter with Will Howard. This is several years ago in Columbus. I guess it would have been last year, maybe last summer, after Will Howard was first in the building in Columbus and Tom Arth happened to be visiting a friend of his who also coaches there.
We got there about 8 a.m. Will was in there with Riley studying the playbook and, going watching film and things like that. And we left probably around 5 or 5:30 and we went back to the facility to say goodbye to Riley. Will was still in the building. He was still studying, still watching tape. And right there, you knew this guy's got the intangibles. He's got the work ethic and the football character that you need to be successful at this level at quarterback. But in addition to that, he's just a really great guy.
Everybody loves Will Howard, Kaboom, is the overarching theme here, including Tom Arth. And if you want to ingratiate yourself, you want to get the yinzers on your side, have people talk about your work ethic. And I'm not saying Will Howard's telling people to talk about this, but just be the guy that is first to the building, last out, and have it get noticed. And I'm telling Yinzers will appreciate that. I know I do.
Yeah. First in the last out. I mean, I wonder if there's we got some ring cameras to figure out who exactly is the first one in and the last one. Is it more impressive to be the first one in or more impressive to be the last one out? Or do they sit there and just wait each other out? No, you go first. No, you go first. I'm going to be
shove another guy out the door at the end of the day.
I'm guessing it's just a figure of speech. I could tell you who's the first one out. He might be an all-pro kicker, but...
Well, he's a kicker.
Well, when he leaves an hour and a half before practice is over.
Is he going to do any kicking during practice?
I don't think they practice. I don't think he kicks 3 days before practice, before games. So he's done kicking on Thursday.
Well, it's worked out for him the last couple of years.
Oh, that's why he's allowed to do exactly what he wants.
Right.
When he sucked, he had to be there. But I digress.
Look at you trying to throw Boz under the bus.
I ain't know how Boz. Well, I'm not the only one. I mean, I wrote a story about it last year about Boz can pretty much do what he wants because he can make every single kick and they don't care.
Yeah.
Boy, we got off on tangent here. What were we talking about? Will Hyde.
Will Howard's work ethic.
Last one out.
He's a blue-collar guy.
Yeah, I mean, that's some things you have to be. I mean, Big Ben wasn't considered the hardest-working guy ever, but if you're able to produce, you can overlook that as well.
But this is the kind of thing that buys you, I guess, favor with the fans and with the organization leading up to your opportunity, I guess is my point here, where, like we said, the Steelers are better off. They're in a better position if Will Howard does not have to play at all this year. We agree on that. He shouldn't see the field during the regular season at all. But if we're still talking about this next spring and next summer, who knows what the quarterback situation looks like then all of a sudden people are going to say, okay, you guys might spend some draft capital on a quarterback next year, and there might be a battle between whoever that incoming rookie quarterback is and Will Howard for a job. Even if it's a battle to be the number two next year behind maybe Mason, right? Let's say Aaron Rodgers plays his final year here, rides off into the sunset, and then you're left with Mason Rudolph, Will Howard, and you draft a quarterback next year. Doesn't have to be a first-round pick, but maybe it's the first 2 days. And now you've got Rudolph as sort of the veteran you can lean on to keep bringing along Howard and XYZ, whoever it might be. I'll throw out Garrett Nussmeier, right? Okay, kid from LSU. Could be any rookie quarterback. People are going to feel a way about Will Howard because he's been working his ass off.
Yeah, I mean, I think new rookies should come and like talk to me or something before doing anything. I can tell you how to ingratiate yourself with the fans, what to do, what not to do, get the media to like you like that. I mean, maybe they don't care, but I know what to do, man. I can tell you right now, and I said it the day Kenny Pickett left. He's always going to have a stain on him by a majority of the Steelers fans because he wanted out. Last thing you want to do as a Pittsburgh Steeler fan or any Pittsburgh sports fan is say, I don't want to be here. Get me out of here. You're done. You're dead to them for the most part. Maybe Pitt brings some guys back. He's doing everything right. He's going to get a bulk of the number of snaps in preseason and training camp as well. So I don't anticipate if Aaron Rodgers is going to play in a preseason. What are we looking
at? I'd be shocked.
One series, two series.
I'd be surprised if he even gets that. Like maybe one series in the final preseason game, if that. Yeah. Like they don't need to see what Aaron Rodgers can do.
No,
they've got 20 years of tape on.
Plus, you need to get him through the season healthy.
Exactly.
So I wouldn't anticipate. You'll see enough of Will Howard. You'll be able to glean a lot from what you see from him against who they play week one. Jaguars on the 9th.
Jaguars.
I think they play home. Tampa, right? So you'll be able to see those games to see enough from him. I think their quarterback situation is in a very, very good position right now. I mean, let's just look at 2025. We look at 2025. You're having Aaron Rodgers, Mason Rudolph, and Will Howard.
Mm-hmm.
When was the last time they had a room like that? 5 years?
At least. trying to think back. It would be pre, no, it would be pre Ben's injury.
It's better than the Pickett, Trubisky, Rudolph, the Wilson, Fields, and who was it last year? I don't even know who the number three.
Kyle, oh, Allen.
Kyle Allen. It was better than the, I don't even know what his first year was. Trubisky, Pickett. Was it Mason then too? Was that 2 years in a row?
No, Mason wasn't here. Oh, you're talking about the, yeah, Mason.
Yeah, well, it's been, I think it's a better group than it's been in a long, long time. You got the guy that can produce now. The guy can produce is a bridge guy and a potential long-term guy, right?
Yeah, and I think that kind of stuff.
Level, you got every level covered right now, so maybe they all don't work out, but I think they're in a better position they have been in a long time.
Agreed, definitely. And I think when people see stories about Will Howard, like that one that Tom Arth told, even if it was a year ago in Columbus, they still look at that, and then they hear the stories about Will Howard now, and I think they look at it and say, okay, yeah, this is the kind of guy I can get behind. Now, if he goes out during the preseason, like you said, when he gets the majority of snaps and looks terrible, well, that can pivot pretty quickly. People yeah. will say, okay, he's a sixth-round pick for a reason. But if he goes out there and just treads water, keeps his head above water during the preseason, doesn't make any stupid mistakes, shows a little bit of growth, I think people will be fully behind him going forward into next year, regardless of who they go out and get. And again, we're working under the assumption that they draft another quarterback next year.
Yeah. I would say probably if you look at Ohio State numbers or Ohio State games, those first 10 games, 9 games he played last year, probably a 6th-round pick. Those 4 playoff games, he's probably pushing into the first round. If you just take those 4 games, now where does he fall in the pros here? I mean,
right.
Does he ever get to that playoff status, or is he just meander around and just become a long-term backup? I mean, I think that it's just, put it this way. He's going to get every ounce of talent, every ounce of all of his talent. He's going to get every ounce of football yeah. out of it.
Yeah, he's going to get the most out of it. I agree with that. I mean, I do think as much as I want to see him succeed, as much as I want to see him take off and be that guy that we saw during the college football playoff last year, I do think he's probably more like the guy we saw at Kansas State. And like you said, a career backup. Well, but
he did a lot of ball in Kansas State.
He did. Like, and terrible, he looked pretty good at times, right? I mean, he won a Big 12 title. So, like, that's the kind of stuff that I think makes you a career long-term backup, maybe a 1B some years, depending on what kind of situation you're in the NFL. If he, like you said, elevates it to that level we saw for the final 4 weeks of the year last year, okay, now that's a guy that could be a starting quarterback in the NFL. But again, he's got to wring every last ounce of potential out of his ability, and it looks like, at least given his work ethic, he's prepared to do that. Thanks to our good friends at Nail Studio 2. Nail Studio, Roman numeral 2. So it's nailstudioii.com is where you go. You can book your appointments there. You can give them a call, 724-941-4595. Do it the old-fashioned way. You can just walk in, but keep in mind, they are super busy this time of year out there at Nail Studio 2 in McMurray, Peters Township, right there at Lakeview. What is it? Lakeview Square. That's what it is. Lakeview Square, right next to Juniper Grill on 19 in Peters Township, near Donaldson's Crossroads. It is a busy time of year at Nail Studio 2. So go book your appointment online. Or if you're getting a gift card for someone, right? Like a graduation party gift, or, you know, your wife or your daughter wants to get their nails done for a wedding, for a summer vacation, whatever it may be, they're the place to go. Lily and Lynn are, like I said, swamped right now, but great nail techs, and they are looking to hire another one or two because they are so busy. So by all means, go check them out online, nailstudio2.com. That's a Roman numeral 2, nailstudioii.com, or check them out on Instagram to see some of the work they do at Nail Studio McMurray on Instagram, or like I said, the old-fashioned way. 724-941-4595. We got to thank them again for being supporters of the program here on Kabbali and Mac. So
you like these, I mean, you better just give Johnny the Barber a shout out. He just made 10 straight tweets on our comments. Hey, Johnny the Barber, how are you?
Hi, Johnny. What is he talking about?
I don't know. 10 straight tweets. He's plus apparently it's 108 wherever he's at.
What's up with that? Yeah, why is the timestamp off?
Yeah, different time on Johnny the Barber in Cannonsburg, I guess.
He's calling Will Howard Big Ben 2.0.
Because he's an Ohio State guy, that's why. Everybody knows that.
And he says Will start by Thanksgiving. Johnny, we love you, bud. Pump the brakes.
Oh, man. All right. You know what? Before we move on to something else, I got, you know, instead of an NBA minute, can I do an MLB 5 minutes? Whatever a minute, whatever you call it.
How about a minute? Can we?
MLB minute. I got a good one.
All right. I'm not going to give you a countdown on this. Just
I want a countdown.
What's that?
Why can't I have a countdown?
You want the countdown?
Yeah, MLB 1 minute.
All right, let me pull up the countdown.
It's not going to take me a minute, but whatever.
Are you sure?
Just hit it. I'm just going to rant.
All right, just rant. Go ahead and do your thing.
Oh, okay. You know, the Buccos lost yesterday, right, Mac?
Extras, yeah.
Extra innings, there we go. This is now 2025. Why in the world are they still putting the ghost runner on second base? Like it's like a 10-year-old kid's playing baseball or you're playing wiffle ball outside. It is such a flawed way of winning games and losing games. It disgusts me. Why in the world do they still do that? I understand why they may have done it 5 years ago during COVID and stuff like that. It's time to move on from that. I am not the only one that thinks this is just ridiculous. Maybe we should just put a guy on third base and say, maybe they should do, you know, rock, paper, scissors to see who wins next inning.
Home run derby to win a game?
I like to see 13, 14 inning games, this crap at second base.
Well, you know who doesn't like the 13 and 14 inning games?
I don't care what Donnie Kelly thinks.
No, the players. The players don't like the 13 and 14 inning games.
Honestly, it's so frustrating every time I see extra innings. You can bunt a guy and sacrifice fly and you lose.
Yeah.
It's like, what in the world?
I don't agree that I'm a huge fan of it. Like you, I kind of relish the occasional 13, 14, 15 inning game, right? It becomes
very rare that even happens.
Especially when you've got like nine guys in the bullpen, right? And you got plenty of arms that you can use. But that's what the players want it. And Major League Baseball wants it because they want their games to be shorter. They don't want these games going 5 hours.
So when you think of like classic games, what do you think of the old, what was that guy's name? The Braves game, Michael McHenry.
Yeah.
You think of games like that, you think of extra inning home runs, and I don't think, wow, they won the game. They won the game to get them into the playoffs because of a sac fly. Woo! Then a guy on second base. I think it needs to go back to where it was.
What was the
can we do a little happy medium? Innings, let's put a guy on.
What was Jerry Meals? That was the ump's name. Remember?
Meals.
Terrible call at the plate.
Honestly, I mean,
in the 19th,
it's like the overtime loss point or whatever it is. Stupid. Like, oh, they have so and so points. Yeah, but they lost 15 of those games. Who the hell cares?
All right,
it's not going to apply in the playoffs.
You got that out of your system now? You feel better?
I can't be the only one that hates the extra inning.
I don't hate it, but it also doesn't bother me to the same extent that it bothers you. Like, okay, it is what it is. That's how they finish games in the regular season. In the playoffs, they still play regular extra innings.
I think in softball in high school, they put a girl on third base.
They put her on second. It's the same.
Isn't it like after like 10 innings, they put her on third?
After, I think if you get to the ninth inning in high school softball.
Yeah, might as well put her halfway between home and third after that. I mean, what are we doing here? And they should need to bring back, like, This Week in Baseball, too, but whatever.
I mean, AI can do anything. Can't we bring back Mel Allen's voice? Twib notes? That was the best. I'll be honest. So I would go to a lot of Sunday afternoon games when I was a little kid at Three River Stadium.
Pizza and pop-up contest. What is that? Pizza Hut pop-up contest.
I was never in the Pizza Hut pop-up contest. But one of the best things was getting there early enough that – you would be able to watch This Week in Baseball on the scoreboard while you were sitting there in the sunshine getting ready for a Sunday afternoon game.
Dun, dun. Let's go to St. Louis where Jack Clark. Yeah.
And you can't recreate. AI could do it. They need the AI. Mel Allen's voice is the narrator for this week.
I turn on the radio on the weekends and I hear Casey Kasem, so they should be able to do something.
Well, those are old shows.
20 years.
They're just replaying old shows. Should we just replay This Week in Baseball from 1987 every year?
Barry Bonds.
The Wizard of Oz.
You know,
Ozzie Smith doing the backflip.
You know, the guy who I've talked to on Twitter before in the old headline news on CNN with Jerome Jurinovich. Headline sports. He's from Pittsburgh.
That's right, he is.
Jerome Jurinovich. Pittsburgh,
everywhere, always. Yinzer Kingdom continues to grow. I guess wouldn't be continues to grow. I don't know where Jerome Jurinovich is now.
Jerome Jurinovich is on Twitter. I talk to him occasionally.
Really?
Yes.
There's a midsummer lull kind of guest we should have on.
Jerome Jurinovich.
Headline sports.
Nick Charles and... They were like the first thing, you know, you set your clock to 19 and 49 past the hour. Then they moved to like 20 and 50, just so you get a minute worth of sports updates.
Yeah. I mean,
stuff then.
But now we've got like 4,000 channels and a phone.
I was like, I can't believe it's not real time on your phone.
That was your age.
One thing we didn't really talk much about at all last week during minicamp, again, because all the focus was on Rodgers and the offense. Was the defense.
Okay, go ahead.
And we mentioned Derek Harmon at one point, and we talked about the defensive line at length earlier in the offseason. One of the things we mentioned is just the number of guys they are throwing at the wall to see what sticks. Yes, you've got Cam Hayward, Derek Harmon. You got Keanu Benton, who we'll talk about in a second. Loudermilk. Y.A. Black, the guy from New England, Ekwuale, DeMarvin Leal, Logan Lee, Dean Lowry, Azeze Odemewo. I think I'm saying that right. I hope I'm saying that right. Sorry, Azeze. Dominique Davis, Jacob Slade. They got, I mean, a dozen defensive linemen. And you asked Carl Dunbar directly about this the other day. You did not, I noticed, say, are you just throwing things at the wall to see what
sticks? I was going to say throwing another word for crap against the wall, but I
throwing shit at the wall.
I pretty much cleaned it up a little.
Yeah, good journalistic work by Kaboom here.
Got about, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11 guys, maybe more. You're going to roll them out there and says whoever performs is
going to get competition, competition. I think that's what it's all about. And when you got guys competing every day, they're going to get better.
I believe the Mike Tomlin phrase would be 12 dogs, 3 bones if we modified it for the defensive line.
Well, we pretty much know 3 of the dogs, right?
Harmon, Hayward, and Benton?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would presume that Y.A. Black. I don't know how much time.
Dogs are at least going to make the team.
Yeah.
I think I'm not convinced that Dean Lowry and Logan Lee is the same person. I'm not convinced they're not the same person yet.
You think it's like a little Spider-Man meme thing going on there with those two?
I mean, it could be the same person. I'm not quite sure.
Entirely possible. But here's what Dunbar said about Keanu Benton specifically. He changed his body. He's still 310, got big, heavy hands. Great offseason where he really took care of his body. We had a guy here who was 295 pounds, Javon Hargrave, and he left and made a whole bunch of money. So he's seemingly implying that, hey, size isn't the most important thing. It's important, obviously, on the defensive line, but that Benton is the problem with Benton isn't size. It's that he's just got to start finishing more plays. Like Javon Hargrave averaged 5-6 sacks a season in his 3 years, I think 4 years with the Steelers. And we're just not seeing Benton finish that way. A true nose is only on the field maybe, what, 25% of the time in this defense?
If you're lucky.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Well, in the base, I mean, I would imagine he might kick in at sometimes, you know.
Might be part of a rotation maybe a little bit, right? Where
I think you have to. You can't have a guy like that only play 17, 15 snaps a game. He's too talented to stay at nose 100%.
But this would have to be the year. What is this? This is year two or year three for Benton?
Three.
This has to be the year where he makes that leap forward, that step forward at least, and shows you that he can be the guy. That's how he's listed on the depth chart right now. Mm-hmm. But he's got YA Black breathing down his neck.
Plus, you have contract year next year. This is money year.
Right. So do we have any confidence, given the fact that they gave up 299 yards on the ground to Baltimore in the playoffs, that this defensive line can be that with a rookie in Derek Harmon, as much as we may like him, a guy who hasn't really totally proven himself yet in Benton? And I know Cam Hayward is an ageless wonder, but he's now 76 and a half years old.
You said that, not me.
You said it the other day.
Cam's 25. He's a 25-year-old at heart and in his body. By the way, Hargrave's a little bit different. They called him Wobble for a reason.
Yeah. Center of gravity, I guess. Yeah, right?
Big derriere. And I don't think Benton's near that point right now, anywhere close to that. But the thing about Hargrave is not only was he thick from the waist down, he was so quick off the ball, and that's why he's able to get some sacks, and that's why he got paid money. They're just two different players. I don't see Hargrave and Benton being the same guy, but I always look at contract years as the year that the guys seem to figure things out. Darnell Washington, mm-hmm. Benton, because they know next year at this time they're going to get paid or they're not going to get paid. So I wouldn't be surprised if he does step it up, but he needs to. I mean, he got the wrestling background. I mean, that's the background you want at that position. I mean, you see across the league, I mean, even on the team with Zach Frazier being guys who are so dominant with a wrestling background.
Now, those two didn't go – it was mini camp. So there was – those two didn't go one-on-one at all really this week, did they?
I had to go half-speed crap during some
– but that's like
– not much of all.
If you are paying attention for things at training camp, when you get ones versus ones and you get Frazier against Benton, that is definitely worth watching.
Yeah. A lot of times, though, they only do one rep. A lot of those guys do one rep and they're done. So by the time they start and you get over there and try to watch it, it's over. So it's not like they get a ton of opportunity, at least one-on-one drills. Though you'll be able to see more in team drill type of situations. But I don't know how much, you know, you want Zach Frazier out there. I would assume enough. He's still young. He needs some work. So, yeah, definitely. I mean, you got one of the best centers in the league now. I think that goes without saying. That's a good guy to practice against. But Benton's huge. I mean, that's not the only problem why they give up that many rushing yards. It's part of the problem. The inside linebackers didn't help. That's why they brought in a new inside linebacker coach to hope he can help those guys out. Peyton Wilson hopefully gets a little bit better. Queen might be more acclimated. There's a lot of ifs with this team, right? It seems like what if the offensive line takes that step, if Benton – if Queen lives up to his, you know, it's a lot of ifs.
Well, but you're right. But you mentioned Malik Harrison. You were high on that move when they brought him in. Cole Holcomb should be healthy again, although I don't know what that looks like. If he's necessarily back to looking like the way he did when he first arrived. So
where he fits in at, though, where is he going to fit in?
Right. Bruner, who's probably just a special teams guy to start. Mark Robinson still around, I think.
Yeah, so, I saw him the other day. I'm like, it was 2 years. It was a year and a half ago or whenever it was. He was like, oh, my goodness, Mark Robinson's the LB1. That's all they had before the Patrick Queen. And
right
now he's like the LB, I don't know where. Six. Who's this guy? Oh, it's Mark Robinson. I forgot about him.
But I think the point is, like, if those guys play to their potential, okay. But it's, I don't want to say a house of cards on the defensive side of the ball, but it definitely feels like if one domino falls out of place, the whole thing could come tumbling down. And I'm talking about the levels of the defense, not one particular player even necessarily, but like if the defensive line doesn't improve from what they were in the last month of the season, it doesn't matter what the inside linebackers do. And vice versa, if the inside linebackers don't improve in the run game, doesn't matter how much better the defensive line gets. And if both of them improve, but your secondary doesn't take a step forward, then does it really matter at all?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, there's a lot of unanswered questions right now. But, I mean, I've heard a lot of people talking about roster construction right now. I think it's no doubt it's a better roster than it was last year. I think that goes without saying. Some might not believe that, but I think they just got a better group of people here this year to be successful. So it might not be that huge of a jump to make that these jumps we're talking about. Is it really, should it be really difficult for Benton to take that next step? It shouldn't be. I mean, he's already had 2 years, and he's a talented individual. Should this offensive line take that next step forward when you have Broderick Jones at year three, you know, Frazier year two? No, it shouldn't be that huge of a jump. I mean, Jaylen Warren finally gets what everybody's dying to get. They wanted him in there for 3 years, for 2 years. Put Jaylen Warren. He's better than Najee Harris. Now it's like, Jaylen Warren?
No, yeah,
I think they're better off of Jaylen. I think the combination of Jaylen Warren and Caleb Johnson is better than the combination of Najee Harrison.
See, I look at it more as the full room. Like, you give me Jaylen Warren, Caleb Johnson, and we talked about this on Friday, Kenny G. I think that trio is much more aligned with what an Arthur Smith offense wants to do than the trio of Najee, Jaylen, and Cordarrelle Patterson.
Yeah, Cordarrelle was around this week,
which is interesting.
He was in the locker room. He was never on the field.
I don't know. I don't know either. But like, I like the idea, like I said the other day, of putting two tight ends and two backs out there on a third and four, third and five, when everybody thinks it's a passing down in this day and age. And you say, you know what? We might throw the ball because we got Muth and Washington on the field and Metcalf, or, you know, and Kenny G, who can catch the ball out of the backfield or even motion into the slot. Or, you know what? We could run it too. We could do anything we want here because we've got a mammoth tight end who can block like a tackle. And we've got two guys behind the line, whether it's Warren and Gainwell or Johnson and Gainwell, who can take the ball and break it outside as well.
Yep, I think you're right. Plus, I mean, I think we can't dismiss the fact that Arthur Smith should be able to do what he wants to do. I mean, all we talked about was that toss play last year because they felt that that was the only thing that they could do. I mean, it's not like he wanted to do it all the time. I don't think that he thought his running backs were quick enough. Now he wants to do the outside zone stuff. They got quicker. What does all the offensive linemen have in common? At least four out of five. They're fast, athletic linemen. They want to get out, make the easy block, make the running back do the one cut downhill stuff, and that's what Caleb Johnson can do, and we know Jaylen Warren can do that. He gets up to speed quicker than anybody, then he can run you over as well. So, I mean,
is there anything an offensive lineman enjoys more than getting out on the second level and just burying a defensive back face first in the dirt?
Well, jumping on him afterwards, goring him. Okay.
Or yeah. Wing night, but I meant on the field.
Drilling somebody. I used to love drilling people when they weren't looking.
That's nice. Little ear action.
You would do a counter play, and if you were a tackle, we'd do counters in Bell Vernon. I don't know why. And the linebacker would go left, go right, then come back to left, and he wouldn't see you sitting there. You just blast him.
You hear that ping.
You're not looking. You're just sitting there waiting. You're like, he's not looking. Oh, here he comes. Oh, wham. It's probably illegal nowadays.
Strike first.
Strike hard. No mercy. Mercy is for the weak.
Thank you.
We don't train to be merciful here.
Thanks to our good friends at Impact HVAC, who will make sure your AC is in tip-top shape this summer. If it's not working, they'll come out and take a look and fix it for you. If you need a new unit installed, they'll handle that. Or if you just want to get it tuned up to make sure it's working before you start running it all the time. And it's, as Bob Kudzema would say, hazy, hot, and humid in greater Allegheny County this time of year. Give them a call, 412-297-1852, or on Facebook at Impact HVAC PGH. We've had them out here to our house to work on things, and they do a great job. So get a hold of them if you need anything taken care of, whether it's the AC or later this year in the winter, when maybe the furnace has some hiccups. 412-297-1852. Thanks to Impact HVAC for being a part of the program as well on Kabali and Mac. So I'll just be straight up honest with you. I have not watched a lot of WWE over the last week and a half. I've just been too busy with the daughter's softball, running around doing different things. The one thing I definitely saw was not in the ring, was not at a PLE, was not at Saturday night's main event, was not on Raw or SmackDown. It was this in New York the other day. Tiffany Stratton attempting the first pick. I mean, the ball doesn't even start in the frame, let alone end in the frame. She struggled a bit, kaboom. Maybe one of the worst first pitches I've ever seen. It's up there with 50 Cent and Baba Booey.
Baba Booey, I always liked the guy that thought he was a college player and he threw it so bad, hit the guy in the nuts with the camera. Did you ever see that one? Like, oh! There are some bad ones. What are some of the bad ones?
I mean, those are the. There was one years ago where somebody fell over when they threw the first pitch. I can't. Oh, remember
that was what's there? That's what's his name.
Who?
From Pittsburgh.
Oh,
Chedwick or Porky.
Oh, Chedwick. Porky Chedwick. Porky Chedwick.
He
yeah.
threw it, then he fell over, and everybody's like, "Oh, Porky,
you still alive, bud?" But that Porky was Chedwick that was up there. So catch me up because there's a big Monday Night Raw tonight.
Rumor has it. Well, SmackDown. Who knows what's going on with R-Truth slash Ron Killings? He jumped Cena twice, but Cena's vice facing CM Punk over in Saudi Arabia in 2 weeks. So,
do you think
Knight's involved in this now?
Do you think the R-Truth release was legit or was it a work?
I think it was legit. Wow. I think that TKO, I don't know, this is what you hear. TKO said you need to cut X amount of bucks. And they're like, R-Truth 50. We don't use him that very much. He's at the high end of the salary chain. I mean, that's the rumors out
there. But then the R-Truth chants and signs show up for a couple of shows, and all of a sudden they call him back and say, hey, we want you back, but we're only going to pay you 70% of what we were paying you before.
I'm guessing. I don't know. Carlito's thinking, Where's my call? He got whacked. I mean, a lot of people, Braun Strowman got whacked, but
yeah.
But R-Truth, man, he's now what are they going to do with it? It's the question. I mean, I don't know. Sometimes he calls himself Truth. Sometimes he calls himself Killings. Maybe he's figuring out his whole gimmick right now, but I don't know where it moves on from here right now. But rumor has it there's going to be a big, reveal tonight on Raw.
Oh?
And I happened to watch a documentary on the guy.
Okay.
173-0 before Kevin Nash beat him.
Goldberg.
What was the guy's name that walked him to the ring all the time? The security guy? Shoot.
I can't remember his name.
Yeah, I was watching it and Kevin Nash, like, you know, I'm not a smart man, but, you know, when he was like 14-0, come back on Monday Night Raw and all of a sudden he's 40-0, I don't think the math adds up.
So you think Goldberg arrives tonight on Raw?
I think Goldberg arrives and I think they might, I'm guessing the title on the line, Gunther.
Against Gunther.
It's Saturday Night Main Event. It would make the most sense at Saturday Night Main Event.
What's that, like 3-4 weeks away, right?
By 12th, I want to say.
Yeah. So a little 1 month buildup to Goldberg and Gunther, and then Goldberg rides off into the sunset. What happens there?
Yeah, it better be a one and done. If they put the title on him, that would be weird.
Well, I mean, if he's going to beat Gunther, he's not going to come back just to lose to Gunther, is he?
I don't know. Is he going to give back to the company, pass the baton?
Do you think Bill Goldberg feels like he owes anything to the company or to the industry?
Bret Hart thinks it, maybe.
Yeah, obviously.
Bill Goldberg. Hey, if you're going to give him a retirement, man, I'll let him retire, but I'm not going out with a... I mean, now Gunther
Let him get squashed by... You can't let him, like, get, you know, put to sleep by Gunther, but...
You got the belt now, so it's either it's for the belt. If you don't put the belt up, then you could see that Gunther could lose. I don't put the strap on Goldberg just for him to leave, unless you want a return match at SummerSlam, but that doesn't seem like it's feasible.
How old is Goldberg now? 58?
He was in the NFL in the late 80s.
I just looked it up. He's 58 years old.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
if he's
in shape, he could probably do a little, you know, 2-3 month program, right? Program.
I think it's a one and done. Maybe for the belt to give it a little more pizzazz.
Now, there's an interesting twist on this theory and this rumor that maybe it's for the belt, or even if it's not for the belt, Goldberg beats up Gunther, right? And who's got the money in the bank case?
You think you'd cash it in that quickly?
Why not? Gets the World Heavyweight Championship back around his waist.
I thought they wanted the Cena belt.
I don't know.
If I was WWE, I would really be contemplating Cena leaving the company with the belt.
Why?
I think it's something different, something unique. Just
then, how do you get it back?
Give it opportunity to change belts. Call it the something else belt. What is it? WWE.
Then you've got a new belt with no history.
It's
no
the university champion. Well, it'll be the same history, like when the Browns moved to Baltimore. It's like you can keep the history, but it's just a different look to it. Maybe a different name to it. Call it, instead of the WWE Universal Champion, just call it the WWE Champ or something like that. Change the belt.
No, somebody's got to come out and save the day before Cena leaves. And I think it's,
I only know if I want Cena to become, you know, full circle and become the good guy again. I don't think I want that. Sort of like, you know, when Darth Vader threw his old man over into the pit and he exploded, the Emperor.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want
to. I don't have a problem with Cena going out as a heel either, but I think somebody has to beat him before he goes out as a heel.
I think I might like it. I think I might. Let's give them something they're not expecting. Everybody's expecting Cody going to take it. But okay, then you're going to force him to lose in front of his hometown in Boston in December.
Then what's the payoff? What's the next thing? If Cena leaves with the belt.
There ever was. That's the payoff.
That's not getting it.
17-time champ. I always find it funny. If you're a 17-time champ, if my math's correct, you've lost the belt 16 times then.
That's true.
Is that so special? You lost 16 times? You lost?
It's wrestling. Who's keeping track of win-loss records in wrestling? Other than Bill Goldberg.
I wonder how they do that.
Keep track?
They got house show results and stuff. I'm like, how in the hell do they know the house show?
Sounds like you've got some fodder for an article this week for WWE.com.
Maybe some
the best win-loss records.
We might have to do something on our boy Goldberg.
Well, you've been saying this for about a month and a half, I think, about Goldberg. And to keep an eye out for it, and
Gunther,
that it
you leave
would involve Gunther.
That little nugget out there in October.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, it'll come back around. But
here's a storytelling.
If this is now a widespread rumor, a lot of times
they'll swerve off of it at the last minute,
zig and zag in here, and say, "Man, let's do it this way instead."
Well, gives you another reason to watch Raw tonight. It'll be the first show I've watched live in probably 2 weeks. So I'm excited for it.
In Pittsburgh in 2 weeks? Here we are. It's actually a double hitter, which I did that about a decade ago. They had a Christmas show in Pittsburgh. They taped the regular Raw, then they did a SmackDown, a Christmas version of it. It was long, man. That's what I was going to say,
because you've got – a 2.5 hour Raw or thereabouts, right?
That has to be 2.5 because that will be live. SmackDown is what? 2 hours worth of content plus probably 30 minutes worth of backstage fodder, which they could do in post-production or whatever.
But still, I mean,
you're just going to run out five matches or what, four matches, and then they put it together in the old cutting room floor.
Still a good 5 hours.
No, what I'm saying is, it's not going to be a 3-hour show SmackDown. It starts at 5:30. What does that tell you?
And the SmackDown is not going to be, I'm not telling you not to get excited for it if you're going, or not to go get tickets if you haven't yet, but like, it's
a 2-hour show.
It's the 4th of July SmackDown. So I don't think they're going to put a ton of
and
major content away, on that episode.
2 days removed from them in Saudi Arabia. So who's right. coming from Saudi Arabia to here?
Exactly.
Probably not John Cena. Right?
You're probably right.
Funk.
Oh, probably not.
That kind of sucks. You're not going to be able to see John Cena.
But when's the last time Raw was in Pittsburgh? It's been like a year and a half, hasn't it?
I don't even know.
Yeah.
No. Usually they come twice a year, two shows, but depends on what it is. This year was
the holiday show.
Which was a pretty good show for a house show. And they'll have one in August. Usually it's like March and August they have them. We need to get ourselves a PLE here, man.
We really do. I mean,
King of the Ring.
With the history of PLEs in Pittsburgh being what it is, it's kind of disappointing that they haven't had one in a long time. And
maybe 2 years, what are we looking at? 30-year anniversary of Taker versus Mankind in Pittsburgh. What was it, 98 or was that 97?
It was 98. Yeah, it was 98, Hell in a Cell.
What was that, King of the Ring? Is that what that was?
Was it the King of the Ring PLE and Hell in a Cell was part of it, I think?
Yeah.
Let's throw that
out there. PPG Paints Arena, June or July of 2028.
I mean, they do enough stadium shows that if you're going to do a big, massive celebration of the 30th anniversary of the Hell in a Cell match, it should be a big PLE. Like, give me one of the four big boys. Like, give me a Rumble. Give me a Survivor Series. Give me a SummerSlam.
You know that, I mean, I would assume this. I haven't heard anything. But with McAfee part of this, I would imagine he gets in Triple H and Tony Khan's ear. Is that Tony Khan? Tony? Nick.
Nick.
Oh, which one's which? I forget now.
Which one's which? Nick works
for WWE. Nick Khan, my fault.
Good job by you.
Nick Khan.
Check to see who signs the checks.
You know, Heinz Field's opening up here. Maybe we can do something here.
Hey, good point here by John on YouTube. If Cleveland can get a SummerSlam, Pittsburgh should too. And that's a hell of a point.
Yeah, SummerSlam's two nights right now.
Yeah.
Jersey's a good place for something like that because you can a whole mass full of people from like the New England region to the New York region to the, you know, I don't even know what region we're considered now. Mid-Atlantic.
I mean, we're a little bit of everything.
To the South.
People come from all over the place. Look at the U.S. Open.
There's a lot of people here that can fill up an arena of 70,000.
Dude, we're within a four-hour drive of D.C., Baltimore, Buffalo, Toronto, Cleveland, Columbus.
Throw 6 hours, and you can go Indy. Probably can, maybe not Tennessee, maybe not Nashville, but maybe close to Charlotte, Baltimore,
Cincy, Louisville,
anywhere on the East Coast.
So the point is,
let's get on it.
Yeah, exactly. That's the point. Before we wrap up today, we wanted to mention this. Our good friend Phil Maines has told us about the third annual Maines Family Golf Foundation golf outing fundraiser. Pardon me. It is the first Saturday in August at Rolling Fields. Just $600 per foursome, a 1 o'clock start, and maybe, just
maybe,
an appearance by your friends Kabali and Mac. Maybe.
Maybe the podcast live.
A live episode?
I don't know. You think we got the technology to do this? The internet connection.
I mean, I think it would have to be worth a shot, right? Don't you think?
It sounds like a good idea to me. The thing is, the old Stillers play that night.
They do.
Get some golf in, right? It'd be a full day of sports.
It would be a full day. We'll share the We'll share the information on that more on social media later. But yeah, at the very least, you won't get some golf in that day. Be a part of the yachting. And who knows? Maybe we'll set it up. Maybe we do a little broadcast there before the 1 p.m. shotgun start.
You know, Phil said, whatever you need.
Ooh, careful what you wish for, Phil.
Yeah, I'll take some pizza from Rudy Subs, of course.
Of course.
Bring some Rudy Subs over. What else can we get here?
You think about it. You got
maybe a little less for than the game.
A little more than a month. A little less than 6 weeks.
For the brand. What did I say for the game? For the brand t-shirt.
Maybe. It's a hell of an idea. Hold on. Are you getting it?
Oh, yeah.
Yep, we just got it again. We'll figure it out. I think that's worth going out there for a little while that morning, getting her done.
Yeah, we don't like to promise things because before you know it, we try to promise things. Then next thing you know, you're having a root canal the next day.
So behind the curtain, for those of you that care, our Monday mystery guest was going to be Seneca Valley native, now Indianapolisian. Is that what it's called? What do they call people from Indianapolis? I don't know. It doesn't matter. Matt Vogt. Kaboom specifically had been in touch with him about maybe coming on the show
last week, and we were thinking about today, but
he's back to real life.
That's what he said. He goes, sorry, I'm back to real life. I'm like, dude, take a day off.
He took a whole week off, and now he's got root canals double booked, probably. The man's busy.
Can you imagine doing a root canal this morning saying, hey, I swear to God, I just saw you on TV. What are you doing here?
That's his gig. Well, he's not a professional golfer. He was listed as an amateur for a reason.
Let me tell you something about Matt Vogt. I was up for that his first round, and he yanked that first drive into three fairways over. It went like 340. It's like, oh, I got every single one of us hackers out there said, I've been there before. Yeah. But the difference between him and us were he parred the hole.
Yeah. He ended up 23 over after his 2 days. I think it was 12 over on the first day, 11 over on the second day. 23 over would be me on the front nine at Oakmont. I mean,
plus you're there in the second day. You're getting eaten alive. You're probably playing decent golf, but the course is eating you alive. You just want to go home. You're like, let me just get. I mean, if it was us, we would just pick up a ball and just go hit the 19th right. hole. And you have to fight through it. It's couldn't have been easy.
No, credit to him for even qualifying. Seriously, I mean, that's a hell of a job
on his own dime.
Yeah, qualifying for the U.S. Open. He's doing a root canal probably right now as we speak. But we appreciate him at least considering a visit with his good friends Kabali and Mac. Maybe next time. Wednesday, so 2 days from now, we'll have friend of the program Josh Yoey on.
Yeah, you blew him off the other day.
I did not blow him off.
Yeah, Rogers said you blew him off.
I didn't blow him off.
He was texting me, am I getting blown off or what?
I screwed up. It's on me, okay? I didn't blow him off, but I screwed up. We were talking about Rogers for like 45 minutes.
That was
like
the day he signed, I believe. Or
the day after, yes. The day after it was announced. And so just for full disclosure here, I have a little screen in front of me, and it shows me if the guest pops up. I didn't see him pop up that day. If I had seen him, I would have gone, oh, okay, Yoey's here. Let's bring him on and talk about the new Pens coach.
You didn't send him the link. He ain't smart to do that. Boy, I mean, Justin in the comments is perfect. I would love to get TJ McConnell on, but I don't even know how to approach that.
I may have a way.
That would be cool.
I may have McConnell. His sister. His
brother's daughter's nephew.
No. It's a very direct route. We know someone. Yeah, we're probably 2 degrees of separation from TJ.
Now, let's go Pacers then.
Oh, absolutely.
What a career he's made. I saw him in high school, and you would have never thought that guy. You just think he was a good college basketball player, but not what he's doing now.
I have a hell of an idea, Kaboom. Oh, we're workshopping stuff right here live.
Going in to go to Indy.
No, I unfortunately can't
make it. Just go on the steps of Game Bridge, pull out the old folding table you get at Sam's Club, the white table.
What, depending on how the series ends, I don't believe in jinxes, but I don't want to jinx anything anyway. Depending on how the series ends, if we could have him on during the parade, that would be epic.
Come on, man. At this point, you're
just for 5 minutes during the parade.
I'll take him at any time.
I would too, but that would be pretty amazing.
Hey, TJ, you want to come on this Schlubs podcast? Oh, can you do it while you're drunk on the float in the parade?
That's the point. Well, either way, we will have to try and get them on.
People don't realize how much we effort to get guests, and then it's like sometimes you hit, sometimes you miss, sometimes they blow you off.
Yeah, happens all the time.
Like our one boy that we know, late night show host.
Oh,
heard from him in a month. I thought I had that all set up. So much.
You know what? We're just laying the groundwork, laying the foundation. Before we know it, everybody's going to be coming on.
Mike Tomlin.
Yeah.
I don't even know who their head coach is. And maybe we get the, what's his name?
I don't know.
Dwayne Kelly.
Dwayne. That would be big. I could probably get, speaking of Pirates managers, no, not Derek Shelton.
Clint Hurdle.
We could probably get Clint on. He's busy, though. He's got a real teacher. Job. Now.
He's a coach.
Yeah. So, I mean, people are busy.
Especially this terrible time slot you choose.
What's terrible about it?
People work. People do root canals.
Anyway, we've been flexible before for people. We didn't talk to Mason Rudolph at 10:30 on a Monday.
Nick?
Yeah, we didn't talk to Moraldo at 10:30.
If AJ would ever respond to me, maybe I could...
Well, Wednesday, we have somebody who's actually responded and who I'll actually remember to bring on the show when he joins the stream. Josh Yowie will talk to us about the Penguins' new head coach.
I think I work at an ice cream store, so I don't know if that would work.
Dan Muse. And just the Penguins' offseason in general, because free agency and the draft are coming up. And he was up there at the scouting combine a couple weeks ago. So we'll get Yowie on the show on Wednesday. Cover. What?
Scouting combine for hockey. How terrible that must be.
I mean, is it any better or worse?
You should know the players in college football. You think he went up there and knew somebody from like Sault Ste. Marie or something who's playing like
probably whatever? It's his job to.
Oh, there's a lot of people like, I don't know who this is. He goes up there so he could go talk to Dubas or
which he did.
Which he did. That's why you go there. You don't, you're like this other.
The networking opportunities. Anyway,
so that'll, got a minute.
Okay. That'll be Wednesday. We'll talk to Yowie about the Pens a little bit. Maybe search for some more leftovers from minicamp as well. And make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss any of the nonsense on YouTube. If you're one of the first 2,500 subscribers to Cabali and Mac on YouTube, you'll be eligible to win that autographed Paul Skeens baseball. And make sure you're following along on all the social media, X, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, of course, at Cabali and Mac on any of those platforms. Enjoy Monday Night Raw tonight. I'm sure Kaboom will have a nice recap written about it that'll get posted next Wednesday. And we'll do the show again this Wednesday with special guest Josh Yowie joining us. That's going to do it for today's edition of Cabali and Mackey. Take care of yourselves. See ya.